This program is made possible by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
You have been made the righteousness of God, and the devil's still telling you now you need to do something to be righteous, and it is not your... You are not righteous because of what you do. You are righteous because of what one man did for you. And we still let the devil play the same game he started off with. Attack your identity, make you doubt who you are, and then what'll happen? You'll start trying to do something to become who you already are. Make sure you understand something. Sin is devastating in the lives of people. Sin destroys people. Sin disrupts things. It destroys things.
I'm a world changer.
This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 1. Let's begin there this morning. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. We're going to continue our series on obedience to the faith and what it means to be obedient to the faith. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, I'm going to read this in the King James and the Amplified Bible, so that you can clearly see what this is all about, to be obedient to the faith. So let's read Romans chapter 1, verse 5 in the King James Bible. It says, ready, read. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now, Paul was talking here, and he was talking about how he received this grace of God, this unmerited favor, and he also received a call of God, the apostleship, to promote this unmerited favor by talking to people about being obedient to have faith in what this favor has made available. Look at the Amplified of Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, and here's what he says here. It is through him that we have received grace, God's unmerited favor. We receive grace through Jesus. We've received God's unmerited favor through Jesus. It's through him. And he says our apostleship to promote obedience to the faith and to make disciples for his name's sake among all the nations. Obedience to the faith. If you have your Bibles or something, you might want to underline that, obedience to the faith. So Paul says, we've received this unmerited favor, this grace, and he says, I've received an apostleship to promote this grace by teaching people about obedience to the faith where this grace is concerned. Obedience to the faith where this grace is concerned. So what is obedience to the faith? Obedience to the faith where this grace is concerned is simply you receiving by faith what grace has already made available. And Paul says, I'm going to promote and begin to teach people how to be obedient to the faith where grace is concerned. And obedience to the faith is you receiving, believing, and agreeing with what grace has made available for you. Now, according to 2 Peter, the grace of God has made everything available that pertains to life and godliness, everything that you need. Your deliverance has already been made available. God is not delivering you the day you found out you were in bondage. Your healing has already been made available. You didn't get healed the day the doctor told you were sick. Your provision was already made available. God didn't, you know, release provisions the day you found out you had lack. See, we've got to change our tense when we deal with God, because we've been operating like we're still living under the law, trying to get God to do what he's already done. Trying to get God to do what he's already done. And the grace of God is all about what he's already done. Under the law, it's about you got to do something to get healed. You got to do something to get provision. You got to do something to get delivered. And so religion and church spends all their time talking about all the things you got to do to get God to do. Well, that's how it was under the law. Those were the requirements of the law, that you do good, then you get good. If you do bad, then you get bad. Then you do your part, then God does his part. That's all under provisions of the law. Romans chapter 6, 14 says that we are no longer under the law, but we're under grace. Therefore, sin shall not have dominion over us. Say out loud, I'm not under the law. I'm under the grace of God. So we've got to stop operating based on the requirements of the law, and we got to learn how to operate based under the requirements of living under this covenant of grace. So obedience to the faith under the covenant of grace is simply believing that you've received in agreement what the finished works of Jesus Christ are through grace. I'm believing that I've received. I'm healed right now because Jesus did it 2,000 years ago. I'm delivered right now because he did it 2,000 years ago. Now, will I be obedient to receive it? See, even though it has already been made available, you still have to initiate a transaction protocol in order for the manifestations to show up in your life, just like when you go in a grocery store and everything you need is in the grocery store, hopefully, on the shelf. They're not manufacturing it. It's already on the shelf. In order for you to walk away with it in your possession, you have to initiate the protocol of exchange and give currency, money, in order to have ownership of what's already there. So likewise, everything that we need is absolutely made available in grace. It's already done. We initiate a protocol of believe I receive, get an agreement with what's already done, and that transaction of your belief and faith causes you now to walk in the manifestations of what Jesus has already done. It's not a matter of you trying to get Jesus to do something he's already done. Every time you begin to use religious things to try to, you know, like praying or fasting or even come to church to try to get God to bless you and get God to be good to you and get God to manifest these things on you, know that you're operating under the requirements of the law and you are no longer under the law. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So to be obedient to the faith, it just simply means that you're receiving in agreement the finished works of Jesus Christ. When Jesus says it is finished, he meant your healing. It is finished. He meant your deliverance. It is finished. He meant your prosperity. It is finished. He meant your peace. There is nothing that you can go through in this life that he forgot to finish for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to say that again. There is nothing you can go through in this life that Jesus forgot to make provisions and finish something for you. It's already finished. That is his M.O. He never puts man in a position where things have not already been made ready. Even in the Garden of Eden, man didn't show up the first day or the second day. If he showed up the first day, he'd have drowned because he wasn't ready for him. Amen. But God waited until he finished everything that needed to be finished. Then God made man because now everything's been made ready. So likewise, when you get born again, everything that pertains to life and godliness has been made available to us through his unmerited favor and grace. It is done. It is ready. Embrace it. Take a hold of it and make the transaction. Transact with your belief. The protocol, transact with your belief. I believe it, I receive it, and I agree with it. I agree with it. I'm lining myself up with what's finished. I'm talking in line with what's finished. I'm thinking in line with what's finished. All my operations on this side is lining up with what's finished. That's a key thing now. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy verse 28 and let's compare and contrast obedience under the law versus obedience to the faith. You understand what it means to be obedient to the faith, but in order for you to stay out of the requirements of the law, let me show you now the requirements of obedience under the law. Now, in Deuteronomy 28 verse 1, he says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do." Notice under the law, it's all about to do. "Observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high." Notice what he says. He'll set you on high above all nations of the earth if you do these commandments. And under the covenant of grace, it's all about receiving what Jesus did and done. 28 verse 1, if you do these things, he says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. And if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, notice what happens when you do it. Blessed shall thou be in the city. Blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be thy fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and all the fruit of thy cattle, and increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. So we learned, under living under the law, we learned if you do these things, you'll get blessed. If you do these things, you'll get blessed. If you do these things, you'll get blessed. We've been trained that way. Do this and you get blessed. Do that and you get blessed. And people are writing books and having programs about the things you need to do to get blessed. I'm telling you, if you do that, you are operating in disobedience where the faith is concerned concerning grace. I'm going to do this to get blessed. You're operating under the law. Under the law, that would have worked. Under grace, when everything is supposed to be done, and I have faith in what has been done, see, that's now contradicting in doubt what Jesus has already done. Are you following what I'm saying? That operates under the law. Now, here's another thing under the law. You got to do something in order to get blessed. Under grace, Jesus has already done it. You got to receive it. Under the law, you got to do something to get blessed. Under grace, you receive what he's already done, what's already been done. Now, here's the deal about obedience under the law. If you do something to get blessed, that's one thing. But now if you don't do the right thing, then you get cursed. Because under the law, disobedience will bring about the curse, and obedience will bring about the blessing. Under grace, glory to God. Listen, you get all the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 under grace. Why? Because all of it's been prepared for you. All you got to do is receive it. All you got to do is receive it. See, under the law, it's you working for God. Under grace, it's God working for you. Under the law, it's you work and God rest. Under grace, is you rest in the finished works of Jesus and God go to work for you. How many of you know you can't afford for God not to be working for you right now? And he is not going to work for you if you're working. Because when you're working, you don't cast your cares on him, and you're saying to God, I don't need you. I can do this in my own effort, in my own performance. He's trying to get you to rest in what's done instead of working to try to get it done like you did under the requirements of the law. If you understand that, say amen. Amen. All right, but now look at verse 15, Deuteronomy 28. Now here's what happens if you don't obey. Deuteronomy 28:15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come on you. Now, to be blessed means to be empowered to have success, but to be cursed means to be empowered to fail. And he said, notice this, these curses will come on you and they'll overtake thee. Verse 16, cursed shall thou be in the city and cursed shall thou be in the field, and cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, and cursed shall thou be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep, all of that comes. So under the law, obedience will produce the blessing, but disobedience will produce the curse. We've been delivered from that. Praise God. This is no longer about your obedience. Oh, glory be to God. See, in times past and in religion, it's always been about your obedience. And people preach to you. When it didn't work right, it was because of your lack of obedience. Or if it did work right, it was because of your obedience. And we've done series on it and we've talked about it. That was under the requirements of the law. It's about your obedience under the law. But now, whose obedience is it about under grace? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Everybody with me? Now, watch this now. If you're there, say amen. Amen. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made, what? Sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made, what? Righteous. All right, now look at the first part of this scripture. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Now, who's he referring to here? What was his name? Adam. And what did Adam do? Well, he disobeyed in the garden. Let me slow up a little bit. What did Adam do? Let's check out what happened in the garden. God had made Adam and Eve just like himself. They were just like God. Huh? The devil showed up and said, if you will disobey God and eat of the tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, if you eat of it, you're going to be just like God. Wait a minute. They were already. But the devil said, now you need to do something.
Right.
In order to get that status. They couldn't just simply receive that they were already like God. They went to do something to try to be like God. And the same thing is happening right now today. You have been made the righteousness of God. And the devil's still telling you now you need to do something to be righteous. And it is not your... You are not righteous because of what you do. You are righteous because of what one man did for you. And we still letting the devil play the same game he started off with. Attack your identity. Make you doubt who you are. And then what'll happen? You'll start trying to do something to become who you already are.
Yes. Yes.
It's about, it's done. It's done. It's done. They were like God. It's done. They were already like God. It's done. It was already like God. It was done. What was the problem? They didn't receive it. And so they proceeded to try to do something to be what they already were. Now look at this. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners. By that one act of doing, one man determined the status for all men who were born physically. So once you're born physically into the earth, you were born automatically a what? Because you were made a what? You didn't become a sinner. You were what? Made a sinner. To become a sinner mean it would mean that you did something for that to happen. To be made a sinner simply means that somebody else did something for that to happen. Now, please think with me for a moment. What was it, do you think, you could have possibly done to deserve to be born as a sinner? Come on, don't look at me religious. Think about that. You think you might have cussed somebody out while you was in your mama's belly or something like that? What is it that you could have possibly done to deserve the status? Was it something that happened before you came out? So what was it? What was it that you did to be made a sinner? How did you deserve that? I mean, I'm just checking. You might know something I don't know. What did you do? Did something happen in the realm of the spirit before the... I mean, did the sperm cuss out the egg while they were trying to come together? What happened? Did something go on that I don't know about that caused you to deserve or to earn the right to be made a sinner? Answer it. Okay, so how was that status established? Was it established by you?
No.
I say it loud. That ain't fair then. I mean, what one man did, it seemed like if I'm going to be a sinner, let me be responsible for doing something to make me a sinner. But one man was responsible. That's not fair. Say, that's not fair. So tell me, how are we made sinners? By what? By the disobedience of one man made everybody a sinner. And from now on until the end of the ages, everybody that's born on the planet physically is automatically born a sinner. Every man that's born on the planet is automatically born a sinner destined to hell. Think about it. You're born, and as soon as you're born, you're a sinner going to hell. Because you don't go to hell for sinning. You go to hell because of your nature. You go to hell for rejecting Jesus. And if you don't get a new nature before you die, with all your good moral works, you're going to hell. Some of y'all look surprised. But what if I do all the goody-goody things? Goody-goody things don't qualify you to go to heaven. Only Jesus qualifies you. So let's conclude this one thing. You are made a sinner strictly by what one man did, correct? All right. So likewise, so by the obedience of one shall many be made what?
Righteous.
And who's the one we're talking about?
Jesus.
And by his obedience we are made what? So when you get, like you, when you are born physically in the world, you are made a what?
Sinner.
When you're born again in this world, you are made what?
Righteous.
So as soon as you got born again, you were made what?
Righteous.
So what did you do before you got born again that qualified you to be made righteous?
Nothing.
So you got born again and you were just made that way because of what one man did, right? So listen, you got born again and you were made righteous because of what Jesus did, right? It wasn't because of your goody-goody things. It wasn't because of all your praying leading up to you born again. It wasn't because all of the church going leading. You got born again, and as soon as you got born again, you were made what? And you were made righteous by what? By what act? By the act of obedience of one man and his name Jesus Christ. How many of you believe that? Hold your hands up just a little longer. How many of you say you believe that? All right, well, why then, when you sin, do you think you're no longer righteous? Well, why then, when you miss the mark, you say, well, I can't be righteous no more? Was it any of your actions that qualified you to be made righteous?
No.
Just like it was none of your actions that qualified you to be made sin. Was it any of your goody-goody things that qualified you to be made righteous? Was it any of your bad things that disqualified you from being made righteous? So how were you made righteous? By the obedience of Jesus. Oh, it wasn't your obedience that made you righteous? You weren't obedient to God, so you ain't righteous no more because you ain't read your Bible today. Or you're not obedient to God, so you ain't righteous them no more. You ain't been obedient to God to pray for 4 hours, so you ain't righteous no more. Were any of those things initially responsible for you to being made righteous? You were made righteous by one man's obedience. So when I am misbehaving, I got to trust in one man's obedience that he covered everything that needed to be covered even when I'm misbehaving. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I am not trying to give you a license to sin. I'm just letting you know that you're going to have faith in his obedience and not your obedience. Does God want you to be obedient? Yeah, when the Holy Spirit leads and guides you, he's trying to lead you and guide you to the finished works of things that are already there. The Holy Spirit's trying to lead and guide you to those things that you've been trying to get a hold of. Please make sure you understand something. Sin is devastating in the lives of people. Sin destroys people. Sin disrupts things. It destroys things. I think sometimes when people hear grace preach, in their mind they're thinking, well, it's grace, so it's okay to let sin come in the back door and destroy my life. No, 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 no. God still loves you. You're still going to heaven, but sin is going to devastate your life. It will not. Your disobedience to the word and your unwillingness to live a life of holiness is not going to destroy your righteousness. Now, that's a lot to say with that, because when you're under the grace of God, all of that stuff's going to be straightened out anyway. Under the grace of God, you're not going to be sinning. The Bible says that when we were under the law, sin had dominion over us. But now that we're under grace, sin won't be able to dominate us like it did when we were under the law. So under grace, grace is going to do something that's causing you to sin less and to eventually not sin at all in certain areas of your life. When you're really under the grace of God, grace teaches you how to live holy. Grace takes away the nasty desires. Grace changes the things you used to do. You start living under grace and start thanking God and thanking Jesus and saying, God, I have faith in the obedience of Jesus that I am made righteous because of his obedience. It'll start doing things. I'm righteous because of his obedience. Now you believe you're righteous, you're going to start acting right. So it's just really off when people say, well, you know, what if you're doing all of these sinful things? What about things? Well, wait, first of all, if you're under grace, you're not going to be doing all these sinful things.
Amen.